This week's episode is sponsored by Himalaya Boutonnique Toothpaste. Himalaya Boutonnique, our sponsor for today's episode, is a toothpaste that is free from fluoride, SLS, and artificial colors and flavors. But unlike other similar toothpaste, they don't compromise on flavor or performance. Himalaya toothpaste is always bursting with foam and flavor. If you are interested in trying it for yourself, get 20% off Himalaya Boutonnique Toothpaste on Amazon with discount code COACHSTEPH20. Check out the show's notes for more details on this episode's sponsorship with Himalaya Boutonnique. Hey guys, welcome to Heal, Survive, and Thrive. I am really excited about this week's episode because we have Marnie, who is a certified dating and relationship expert. We love having the experts here. She is a writer and nationally recognized TV, print, and online magazine expert. Marnie's weekly dating and relationship podcast is The Dating Den. Her website is datingwithdestiny.com, and you can follow her on social media at Dating with Dignity. Now, guys, let's get right into this. We have a lot to tackle, so let's dive right into this week's episode. We are going to start talking about rebuilding as a single parent. I feel like, I don't want to say unfortunately, but personal experience is obviously the best, right? So I have been through this. I know you have as well. And I think that there are certain things that we all tend to struggle with for sure. I know for me personally, just rebuilding my life, I started literally from scratch. I'm talking about friendships, my career, you know, starting this business, the financial piece, and just trying to balance it all. What do you think is like one of the biggest things either you yourself or perhaps even your followers struggle with when it comes to rebuilding as a single parent?
Well, there's a couple things. I mean, for some women, our kids can become a great place to just hide, right? Because, and it's so valid, right? Because your family is most likely really important to you and your kids are going through a transition also. And so it makes perfect sense to really, you know, focus on keeping them solid. And then what I really see is that after a while, that can become a really great excuse. It reminds me of like, when I was a young mom and I was in Mommy and Me, and people would talk about losing their baby weight. And then we were like, you know, our kids were like two and they'd be talking about losing a baby weight. Like your baby is like going to preschool, you know? And that's kind of what happens. I think we get so entrenched in our mom identity. And then probably like building a career identity or whatever it is, that some of the things that are just for us can kind of get tossed into the, oh yeah, when I have time or when I want to deal with it. And so we don't, you know, and that can end up having a lot of different, you know, impacts in not just our lives, but ultimately then in the lives of our kids too, as they grow up.
For sure. I think, and as you started that, the first word that came to mind is distraction. Like, I feel like kids are a great distraction when we are going through a breakup, a divorce, transition of any kind, where we just dive into them and we don't really give ourselves that minute to kind of like think about ourselves or deal with what it is that we ourselves need to deal with. You know, it's very easy to just be always be the caretaker and worrying about others and not really worrying about our own sanity, quite frankly, our own physical health, emotional health, you know, spiritual health, whatever it is. And I feel like that's something that comes up so often when I coach single parents is the distraction, and more specifically when, you know, they don't have that distraction anymore and then they don't know what to do with themselves.
Well, yeah. And that's what's kind of crazy. I mean, I feel like a lot of women will reach out to me when their kids are like, you know, juniors or seniors in high school, you know, and they're like, oh crap, you know, like they're going to leave and I'm going to really be on my own. I love teenagers. A lot of teenagers will be like, mom, you know, you should date, you know, or they feel
it's time.
Yeah. About leaving mom home on the weekends or whatever it is. And, you know, one of the things that I think we don't want to happen is that when you're a single mom, you don't, and I don't know exactly what the official like clinical term is, but there's this sort of concept of your kid then becomes like what we would call like a surrogate spouse, right? They become your best friend. They become the place,
yes,
where you're, right? Like you're doing, getting all your emotional support. And that's not going to serve your kid as they go off on their own, because most of us want to be awesome moms and we want to create these amazing independent kids. And it makes it really hard when they kind of become a replacement for spouse, best friend, whatever it is. And so it's really important. Also, I think, you know, in my story, my kids ultimately became my why. Like, I was like, if I don't get my crap together for me, then I have three daughters. That's probably not an accident. I want to model something different for them. So if your kids aren't your excuse, they could become your why. And that's a really complete paradigm shift that can, I think, create a win-win in the people that you care about the most, which are your kids.
God, I absolutely love that, because, and I love those kind of quotes where they're like, you know, don't give up because someone's watching, you know, that type of mentality, because it is, it's a huge factor. And I know for me, it was a real driving force. I didn't want to, not only just my son, but I didn't want the situation to break me, you know, like I wanted to understand why was I going through this? What could I learn from it? And not just blaming myself, what did I do wrong? But really, how do I create a better life? You know, like how do I create a new life and not just harping on the negative or not just harping on what was supposed to be. And I think that that's a story that we all tell ourselves. And it's something that for sure you have to mourn, you know,
yes,
like
for
what I thought was supposed to be. I mean, that's definitely a predominant story in any single parent's life. And it's something that they probably mourn a lot. I mean, I'm 6 years out and there are still times where I'm like, you know, well, that stinks, you know, but I know that there's so much benefit that came of that situation, you know? So again, and those are the learning moments, really, you know, what did you gain from that experience? What did you learn from it? I do think a lot of people, you're right, use the children as a distraction to have them be their best friend, have them be their partner in crime, have them, you know, fulfill them in probably many different facets of their lives where, and I think it's something you have to just be mindful of, you know, and you have to want to rebuild in all of these different areas, right? Like, so when I know for me personally, when I talk to clients, one of the first thing is, what is missing from your life now? You know, is it the career? Is it the money? Is it the friendships? What do you want to add to your life that you currently don't have?
Yeah. And I think, you know, look, like there's a huge phase of getting through a breakup, a separation, a divorce when you're a mom. And that is, you just have to get your own sort of head on straight, your own life together, right? You have to get through the trauma of the breakup. You have to get through the adjustment of having to live by yourself, right? And what that looks like and custody schedules. And there's just that part where you're like, oh my God, I just got to get through this. In fact, you know, I love it when I talk to someone and they're like, yeah, I totally had therapy. I had some sort of support system when I went through that divorce. And then you get yourself together and you're like, I'm good. I love myself. You know, I finally feel like I got my shit in order. And that'll hold you for a while until, you know, you realize that you want more.
Yes.
And then there's a lot of guilt and things like that happen. But I think that, you know, in my story, it was really like, I was very codependent. I was very needy. I like thought men, you know, would make me valid and lovable. And I got through that. And then I was like confident and independent. And then I started like being a dude, you know, basically
right.
Like pushing guys away and I don't want a commitment. I don't want to stay over and like, I don't need a dude. Like, and I realized like, well, that's not really going to serve me either. And so it's really coming, I think, to then this place of really being in your fully expressed authenticity, right? Because, and I love your message, right? Like, you got to survive, right? You got to get through that. You got to heal. And but then also, like, what do you want? Like, is that what you want, to be the person who got through the divorce? Or do you want to, like, create something that is amazing, right? Like,
yes.
That is, like, the next part of your evolution as a human. And so, and it's scary because we lost something, right? That was important. Our hearts did get broken probably a zillion times in our lifetimes. So I totally get it. Like, it's super scary. It's easy to say, yeah, I totally want a partner. I want a date. I want to have a relationship again. And it's easy to intellectually say that. And then when you really get into doing the work of opening up your heart, it feels super scary. So I just want everyone who's listening to understand, like, it's one thing to just swipe on Bumble and go on a few dates and be like, ugh, this is annoying. And then there's, you know, and then there's like, oh, never mind. But then there's that loneliness or that wanting to actually experience healthy love. And that longing has to be acknowledged so that you, right, you know, that you don't just become worker identity, grandma identity, friend identity, right? Like there's a whole other part of you that's this, you know, sensual, alive, romantic woman.
Right. Well, and I think, and you brought up a good point. I know for me personally, I got to that phase where I was like, I love myself. I am good. I'm so happy. Where if you're honest with yourself, you do get to a place, at least I did. I really did get to a place where I was content. You know, like I didn't yes. want to be single. Of course, I would love to have, you know, had someone in my life in those nights where I was like, yeah, I'm kind of bored, kind of lonely. Like I could use a hug, you know, whatever. Right. But I did feel okay. I think because in the back of my mind, I knew, look, at some point I'm going to meet someone. So, I mean, that's just kind of inevitable. But then I always tell my clients, the minute you feel good, be prepared to get tested. Because then when you, like you said, when you get into a relationship, when things start to change, then it brings up a whole nother set of things that you have to work on within yourself and not going from 0 to 60 with the, you know, I love myself, I'm good, I'm strong, I'm capable. You know, I use those phrases all day long, girl power and everything. But I talk a lot with my clients about, you know, it is a very masculine dominating type of personality and trying to balance that kind of feminine energy of, okay, I don't need to be in control. Okay, let me be laid back. You feel like there definitely has been a time where I went straight to that masculine of like, I'm good. I don't need anyone. I'm independent.
And I think that, and that's for me, you know, look, I had a guy call me out on that when I was dating. I was like, you know, wow, you're so unavailable. Like, you know, you're just so casual, quality casual guy. And he was like, me, I've never met anyone so like unavailable, you know, as you. And I was like, oh God, people notice? Like, is that noticeable? So that, you know, that's important. And then I think the other thing you kind of put into this like soup here is like, well, then how do I do it? Right. Because all your girlfriends are saying, oh my God, online dating is a nightmare. But then you have also your other friends who met their guy online or whatever it is. And so you're like, I don't even know how to do it. I haven't dated in 20, 30, however many years. And so then that becomes another great reason to not do it, or you put your foot in it, you know, and you don't know how to do it. So it's overwhelming. It sucks. You get weird messages, dick pics. You're like, never mind. I'm content. You know, I was like, let me just go to yoga, eat cereal in bed and call it a day. You know, like that was it. Go to the movies, have some fun with my girlfriends and drink wine on the weekends. I don't have my kids. So, you know, I think that other piece of like, I don't know how, turns into I don't want to deal with it, which is another reason to kind of like put it in the, yeah, you know, someday I'll sort of deal with that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think when you date, I always tell people, like, especially in this day and age, like prepare, you better have some thick skin, because you cannot get smitten by the first person that swipes right on you. You don't even, you know, the first person that you go out for drinks with. And I always talk about balancing your emotional side, which is just that like, oh my God, you know, this person's so cute, I'm having such a great time, versus that logical side of like, okay, I'm seeing things that I don't like, you know, like you have to keep both things intact. And I actually think I think there needs to be more logical thinking when you're picking a partner and dating versus the emotional, because the emotional can be there very easily. You know, we can fall in love with anyone who's blatantly not right for us, blatantly has yes. like red flags. So it's the logical piece that I feel like, not just women, but I think because women tend to be more emotional first, we lose that logical piece and we go straight for the emotion. Whereas it takes a man, you know, a little bit longer to get there emotionally. You know, they can do it until the cows come home and they're absolutely fine. But the minute a woman does, she gets her claws in and she's right. now, you know, stalking someone on social media. So finding that balance of like, just number one, having faith and trust that like what I want, I'm going to get, you know, knowing what you want. I always think that that's hugely important, to be very clear with whatever, God, the universe, yourself, you know, just to know like, okay,
what is the job description for someone to be in my life? Like, what is it that is really important to me and a partner? And defining that, I think that's really huge. And then having faith that it exists, you know, trusting, not even just trusting, just knowing you deserve it. I think self-worth is huge. And then, you know, just enjoying your life until you get there, because you can't really, you're never going to know when, but it's going to happen, you know?
Well, yeah. And I think what's amazing is in the be clear on what you want. I always advise anyone who's figuring that out to come from a place of creation rather than fear. So when I first see somebody's list of what they want, it like is blatantly, even the words they use, you know, the language that they use to write it down is evocative of a lot of like fear, like moving away from, because it's what they had before. And so I'm always encouraging someone to really look at, okay, so, you know, you're leaking your last relationship. Please don't put this in your profile, because a guy will be like, well, I know exactly who she dated before, who she was with before. So really get clear on what do you want, and then really look at values rather than characteristics. And when I do this work with someone, I think it's really interesting. A lot of the times what somebody says they want comes from some early messaging, you know, whether it's like, you know, he needs to earn X amount of dollars, and, you know, you unwind that and unpack that. It's because, well, either, you know, you had to financially support someone, or your mom told you, or the people that you've worked with have a lot of money and you're not lovable or worthwhile or good enough if the guy doesn't make X amount or X amount more than you. Or he has to like have a six pack. I mean, literally like all these things that are interesting nuggets of information. And I always would say, you know, reverse engineer that, like get really curious about why you're putting some of these characteristics down that are almost like behaviors rather than values, and unpack it. It doesn't mean you shouldn't put it, or you can't have six pack abs or a guy who's got $10 million in the bank. It's just get really clear on your why. Because on that same conversation, someone will tell me they want someone who makes X amount of money or has X amount of money in the bank. And then they'll say, and I want him to be able to like be available, and I want to be able to travel, and I want to have dinner together every night, and I want this and I want that. And depending upon where they are in their career, their life, that may or may not be two things that can mutually coexist right now. So really looking at your list, everyone always makes a list. I'd say make it really short. It's the five, I always say five non-negotiables, five values, five deal breakers. They're the fights you know you're never going to have. And they're the things that are going to leverage you through all the other things. The Gottman Institute, I love this quote, this statistic actually, 69% of all issues in a long-term relationship are unresolvable. Right? Unresolvable. Meaning you're going to keep having the argument about it over and over and over again, right? It's how do you dialogue through it? So you want to have a partner that has all these five things so that when that crap comes up, you guys can deal with it.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's just what it's like to be in a long-term relationship that's really healthy and have not just contentment or like, yeah, we get along, but really be madly in love with your partner, you know, 10, 20, 30 years down the line. So, so when you make your list of what you want, like be curious about that list and where is it coming from, so that when you ultimately are putting it out there, it's coming from a place of this is what I want to create rather than this is what I want to avoid.
Before we continue on with this week's podcast, I just want to touch base with you guys regarding my coaching program, because I get a lot of questions regarding what I actually do offer in terms of coaching. My coaching program is a 6-week minimum. In that time, you will have 8 weeks to complete the 6-week program. You will have a weekly phone session with me, which is an hour long. You will also have email access to me from week to week. So you'll have 24/7 access to me regarding any questions, concerns, new goals, things that have come up in your life that you would like to discuss or possibly touch base on in your next phone session. You will also have access to my 9-week online course. This is a great bonus to my coaching program. So while you are working with me one-on-one and having email access to me me, you will also have access to my coaching program where we go over everything in terms of emotional wounds. So this is really big because it's going to reinforce everything that we are talking about from week to week and the goals that you are setting for yourself. If you guys are interested, I always link all of the information on any of my podcasts, or you can go to my website or also find me on social media as well. And let's get right back into this week's episode.
I love what you were saying, because I think that when you ask the why, you kind of find out, wow, I actually don't need this, you know, like, and for me, I always tell people, go back to, I did this myself. I went back to all of my past relationships and I looked at each man and I said, okay, what were the things that I really actually loved about that person? You know, like traits and just who they were. And then, or maybe not even just good character, because maybe some of them didn't have the best character, but just what were the things that I liked about the relationship? And then what were the things that I literally didn't get at all? Because maybe the person was just like incapable of even giving them, that I didn't realize I really needed in a partner.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, patterns will tell you everything, what you can see. And then, you know, my whole shtick is, you know, I realized I was the common denominator in all my failed relationships, whether or not those guys were narcissists or emotionally unavailable, whatever, it doesn't matter. I picked them. I stayed with them. Right. So I just really, you know, like, and not from a place of self-blame, like, oh, I'm such a mess up or whatever, but like, oh shit, there's probably a reason. There's something I meant to learn from this. So let me just take that inventory and get curious and have self-compassion. I was doing the best I could with what I knew. Right. And, you know, there's a part of you that needed that person for whatever reason. And so having that grace, right, that self-compassion, and then just be like, okay, great. So that happened. So what am I going to do moving forward? It's like making an assessment and then gently making an adjustment rather than saying, you know, I failed.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I mean, it's so interesting because I feel like when the single parent thing, there's so many, literally so many layers, right? Like we could talk all day long about dating and then we can talk all day long about parent, you know, mom guilt, dad guilt, whatever you want to call it. We can talk about starting a business or having a career. We could talk about just the stay at home parent. You know, I did that for a couple of years where I was just home with him and I was a single parent. Just, I think when you're rebuilding and you're kind of starting over, a lot of people look at it as such a scary thing. And I don't know what it was about me. Of course I was scared, right? Like I didn't have answers to every single question and I didn't know exactly how things were going to lay out. And I still don't. I still am living life, you know, and like trying to figure it all out. But I never feared that blank screen, like, you know, the blank canvas. Like I was like, wow, I actually have an opportunity to like redo this and like do it differently. And I kind of wanted to like take a step back and be like, okay, what do I actually want for my life? Like, okay, maybe I didn't get the white picket fence and all of these other things that I thought I really wanted. And of course, a lot of that I did have to mourn, you know, like that was a disappointment. But then I was like, how else can I create something that is like authentic to me and I'm happy and I'm good? And I, for me personally, the friendships were like a big thing. And I feel like when people get lonely and they get really sad and or they want to go back to their ex or whatever it is, it really is because, I mean, to be frank, I think on some levels, not all levels, but some levels, they just don't have a life. You know, like when you have a good life, and not that life's a distraction, but when you feel like, wow, I have great support system, I have great friends, like I can travel, I can, maybe not right now, but at least, you know, I can go out for dinner on a Tuesday night with some girlfriends and then I can be home because I feel like being home. When you have that like freedom, for me, I didn't fear always being the single parent because I always looked at it like at some point I'm not going to be. If you don't want to be, then you will find someone, you know, it just depends on the quality of the person that you find.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think in my journey, it was like at the beginning when I didn't have my kids, I was like, oh my God, I need a plan. Like I need to see my friend. Like, I don't want to just be having nothing to do. That freaked me out. Then I sort of was like, oh wait, no, I actually am okay being alone or just chilling or not having a plan or making a spontaneous plan or having nothing right going on. When I was growing up, my mom used to say like, you can never be bored. And I used to just roll my eyes at her, but I really think it was a great thing because it's like, when you are at that place of creation and you're developing things, right? Because you are starting over. It's like, well, what do I want to do? What am I curious about? You know, maybe I want to learn how to cook. Maybe I want to get involved in an athletic challenge. Maybe I want to, you know, whatever it is. And so it's that, because I think that like, ugh, I have nothing to do. You know, everybody's got plans except me. All my friends are married. You know, that's that sort of like life is happening to me vibe. And yes. So it's like, wait a minute. Okay. So literally you get to do whatever you want. I mean, that is one of the biggest blessings for me when I figured that out, when I stopped feeling sorry for myself. I'm like, wait a minute. My friends that were married would be like, oh my God, I can't believe you get like whole weekends where you get
the best of all.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm right. That's cool. Like I can do that. My kids like ultimately were like, I love having two houses. We like never, you know, when we're sick of the food at dad's, we can come to yours. Yeah. So making it the best of, a best of both worlds thing, I think is super, super important. And really looking at what do I want to create?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's important. And I think it ebbs and flows. I think the weekends where I was like, oh my God, I have a day off. I'm so happy. Like, you know, whatever, built-in babysitter, whatever it is that you want to call it. And then, but there are the times where you're like, and I don't want to be alone right now. I didn't want you to leave, you know?
Yeah.
So it ebbs and flows. And I think that's the part where people just have to practice acceptance and mourn when they need to mourn. But I do think like working on yourself. And I think, I mean, I am madly deeply in love with self-development. I think everyone needs to be doing it constantly every day. I mean, how do you not learn how to take care of yourself? Like, and I think that's one of the things that I don't know if it was because of my divorce and what I went through, and even prior to that, I started dabbling into codependency and understanding like, okay, I get I'm a little bit of a people pleaser. I get I'm needy. I get I'm codependent. Like, I understand like why I attracted past partners, like, you know, because you're right. The common denominator was me. Not that there was anything wrong with me, but I, you know, I did the therapy, I did the couch, I did the, okay, let's talk about mom and dad. Okay, let's talk about what happened when you were eight, you know, all those different things to kind of like be inquisitive and learn more about yourself. But I loved the aspect of how do I take care of myself now? Like, how do I take care of myself emotionally and mentally and physically and learning and being excited about challenging myself, you know, whether it was going on a date, and being in the Uber and sweating my ass off, being like, oh my God, I'm so nervous, and learning how to have a conversation with myself to talk myself off the ledge, to, you know, taking public speaking, to starting a YouTube channel, like all of the working out, whatever it is. Hold on.
As the truck goes by. Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate you.
So yeah, I just think that that's hugely important, not only for yourself, but I think it really builds, honestly, it builds confidence within yourself. It shows yourself like, wow, I can actually take care of myself. And look, and I did that just like we do for our kids. When our kids have done things, whether it was walk or, you know what I mean? Or whatever. And you're so proud. You're like, oh my God, you've been trying to walk for so long and you finally did it. And you're so excited for them that they're building confidence within themselves because they're getting the love and the feedback and all of that encouragement from us. Because they're not able to do it for themselves yet. And I, unfortunately, we as, you know, a world, a society, human beings don't really, we haven't learned how to translate what we're getting as children from the outside. Some of us didn't get any of it. And some of us got a little here and there into an adult, you know, like, how do I soothe myself? How do I love myself? How do I motivate myself? How do I really just take care of myself now that it's just me?
Well, I think that's really, the key thing is, it's hard to open up your heart and be vulnerable and connect if you don't know how to create internal emotional safety, right? So if you're constantly looking for that externally, then it's really hard to put yourself out there. So creating that ability to self-soothe, to meet your own needs, all those things I think are developmentally crucial, right? To then, and by the way, it's not just to date, it's then to have that long-term, you know, but a long-term partnership. I think the other thing that's really important is, and it depends on how old your kids are when you're dating, but there's nothing that makes me happier when my kids tell my husband, we've been together like 13 years. So my youngest was 12 and my youngest was 6 and my oldest was 12. to tell him how much he's impacted their lives. Like, he actually helped create who they are and how grateful they are to have his influence, like, of who he is as a person, because he's so different, obviously, from their dad in so many ways. And that's like a huge blessing, right? Because that's the part that you can't predict and that you don't know, right? And that you're going to meet this person and they're going to be an amazing guy because you're going to do all this work and it's not going to be perfect, and that's okay. And you'll show your children that you can have conflict with healthy communication, and you'll show them that you, you know, are a woman as well as, you know, if you're a guy, that you're a man, not just a dad or whatever it is. And they can have these experiences that this other person will bring into the life that they're living, and, you know, and then learning how to navigate that and, you know, figuring out that whole situation, right? Of like, how do you bring another person into your home and all of that's another topic. But it's just that, to me, it's like, you know, my kids are these international global humans now. And a lot of that is because I married a man who's like loves adventure and has an international family. And the experiences that my kids have had from that growing up that way has just changed who they are. And, you know, just so many parts of who they are. And so that's beautiful. And that is something, again, that's hard to imagine when you're on one side of it. And when you take the time to do the work on the front end, then you're actually enhancing your kid's life.
Do you think on some levels that our children allow us to pick our partners in some way, like in terms of standards?
Yeah. I mean, look, like, you know, we want to be able to model for them what it looks like. Right. And so again, it depends on how old your kids are and all of those things, but we want to show them what it looks like, I think, to have a healthy relationship. And so, you know, I'm happy to get into it a little bit in front of it with my kids, and obviously because we can handle it appropriately, but I also don't want them to think that there's this ideal of this relationship that they're going to have one day. Cause now my kids are like 18, 22 and 25, right? I don't want them to think that, you know, they're going to meet someone and the only way it works is if you never have conflict or if you're never disagreeing or you don't have different needs or whatever it is, right? Because that's that 69%. And so, yeah, they've really helped me model things that I didn't even know that were going to be missing if I would have stayed married to my ex-husband. Like that never would have happened. Like they right. wouldn't have, I wouldn't have created, I mean, I started out being a teacher when I got divorced. That was my sort of financial plan. I realized that's not going to, once that alimony is gone, that's not going to work. But you know, I wouldn't have created the business that I created, or I wouldn't have done the thing. I wouldn't have been who I am. And that's when you're going through it and you're sitting there. And I remember the night my ex moved out and my kids were with him that first weekend, and I'm looking at all the family photos on the wall, and I was sitting on the couch, and I didn't miss him, and I knew he wasn't the guy for me, but I was just so sad that this family with the portrait and the pets and all that stuff was gone. And so if I could go back and reassure her, you know, now and say, you know what, like, you're going to be the person that you're meant to be. And that just couldn't happen with this. And that sucks for you right now. But I promise you, like, if you just do this work, then it will be the best for everybody involved, you know? And so if I could reassure whoever's going through that now and just, you know, give you a little hug and say like, oh, this sucks so bad, this part, but just keep doing the work, you know, keep staying true, keep diving deeper, keep opening your heart further and further, keep practicing saying what you need and having boundaries and saying no and all those things that feel so hard. Just keep practicing, because the life that you could leave is beyond, you literally can't even imagine it right now.
I think that was beautifully put, because it is true. And I think that a lot of that though is having trusting life, you know, like, yeah, and totally. I think that's why I didn't fear the blank canvas, because I was like, you know what? I'm a good person. And like, doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean that good people don't have, you know, crappy things happen to them. They do, but I just knew that I was a good person and that I deserved better than what I got, what I thought I got. But so I wasn't afraid to rebuild. And I think when you said, you know, looking back, I wish I could tell that younger woman that everything was going to be okay and this is the way it's going to pan out or whatever. I think being able to do that in this moment, reassuring yourself and trusting that it is going to be okay. You know, I think, look, at the end of the day, half the reasons why, not even half, I mean, 99% of the time, what we feel is based on what we think. So you can choose to worry about the future and all the what ifs. And look, would it be amazing if we all knew, okay, at, you know, 2:30 to this afternoon, you're going to scratch a scratch ticket and you're going to win $1 million.
Right.
Yes. And you're going to meet him at Starbucks because you're going to bump into him like the Hallmark movie. And then, yeah, you know, you're going to spill your coffee. I mean, yes, we all think we want to know every day and time and when and where and how our life's going to pan out. But if you did, it really would be boring. It really would. And when people say that, they're not lying. It's really true. Because the excitement of life is like, I didn't think today was going to be the day, you know, and like it was the day. So I think just not even preparing yourself, but just like being happy in this moment and just knowing like there's good stuff that's coming. That's inevitable of life. You know what I mean? Just like sometimes it's crappy things that happen.
Yeah.
But just like the crappy things, you can handle all of it. So just enjoy the moment, you know?
Yes. Yeah, totally. Trust the process. It's hard to do
process.
It when you're in it. And I would say, like, look back at all the things in your life that were the worsts, you know, and then what were the gains that you got out of it? So create some evidence for yourself, because it's hard to convince your brain, you know, to just trust when all the facts are like, but wait, this is shitty, right? So I always say, like, create a list of 50 bad things that happened, and then, but this actually was great because it got me whatever. Do that exercise with yourself. And then you're like, oh, wait, there is a plan. And also just say, oh my gosh, that's so funny that I think that life is a straight line, and that if I just got this, then I would always be happy because we'd
right. It's like that's great, so true.
Yeah. It's a great urban myth. It's not true. There is no, like, when I do this, when I have this much money, when I have this guy, when I have this, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like you said, let, you know, just when things are rocking, you know, life's going to be like, okay, plot twist.
Well, you know, and even when, look, I mean, obviously, there's a ton of every single parent goes through a different situation, right? Whether it's financial, whether it's whatever, right? Real serious abuse. Like, but no, like literally, this is like now like the motivational speaker in me. Like, I really do feel that however hard you're knocked down, you just get up. You know what I mean? Like, you just keep fighting. And then one day, like, the clouds do go away and the sun comes out, and then you're like, I got through that. And that literally builds a muscle that you need in order to tackle something else that's coming. You know, that's why the whole, like, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger kind of a thing, message that is everywhere. But I really, really believe that. And even the days where I was in the shower, crying my eyes out, ugly cry, you know, waving the white flag, I'm like, I give up, like, please, life, throw me a crumb, like, please. I mean, I had those moments for sure of, like, you know, being scared, being nervous or whatever. And it was just like, okay, like anything else, you wipe off the tears and you get up the next day and you just try to do your best. And you just keep doing those little moments. And eventually, like I said, the clouds do go away. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm on the other side. I got through that.
Totally. And that to find the beauty in the moment of the shower, right? Like that you could just be so connected to your feelings and that you love, you know, you love your son so much, right? That you're grieving for him too and all of these things, right? And so, hey, we're alive, you know?
Exactly.
It's like I think Brene Brown says, you know, you don't get to like choose to mute some feelings and then have only the good ones, quote unquote, the good ones. And so it's like, oh shit, I'm here, I breathe, I have all of them. And I want to have extreme joy. So then I got to feel sad and mad and all that.
Yep. Exactly. And you can handle it. You know what I mean? There's nothing that you can't handle, and just
I always say, just feel it and let's start getting it through you. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think this was absolutely great. I think a lot of people are really going to enjoy this. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
All right, Stephanie. Thanks so much. Good luck with your puppy.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
So that about wraps it up. Thanks guys so much for all of your support. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and I will see you next week.